Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the access to Thy presence through the person and the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we begin to remember the Holy Week, remembering the passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how He entered to the city of Jerusalem on this very day, that He suffered, He also paid the redemption for our sins at the cross. We pray that Thou may help us to pause, to stop, to reflect of His care, of His love for us. We thank Thee for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from the bondage of sins and the condemnations of sins. We thank Thee through His death we can have redemption. We thank Thee that when He rose from the dead, He shows that His redemption is successful, and Thou hast accepted the price of the redemption through His precious blood. Lord, we pray that Thou may help us to ponder of ourselves, that who are we that Thou even care for us, that Thou even come all the way from heaven to save us. And we pray for the wandering souls, pray for those who are not safe, that they may come and hear the gospel call. And we pray for the Christians who are wandering, we pray that Thou may save them from their wandering journey. Help us to follow the Good Shepherd and the Great Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that Thou may help us to congregate on this Friday night to remember the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to partake the Lord's Supper, remembering those who are going to receive transfer membership and also receive water baptism. Pray that Thou may grant grace to these brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that Thou may continue to work through Thy church, that Thou may display Thy wisdom throughout ages through us. We remember Pastor Lim, who is involved in the ordination of Preacher Joshua Yong in Singapore, together with other ministers. Pray that Thou may be with him. May Thou be with Thy servant Joshua Yong, that he may continue to minister the gospel in Singapore and beyond Singapore. Lord, we pray for Thy people here. Pray for those who are sick. May Thou restore our health. Pray for those who are weak. Pray for those of us who are in the evening years. Pray that Thou may sustain us. Help us to look unto Thee. Remembering those who are studying, may Thou grant them wisdom to divide the time for studying and rest. And pray for those who are managing many things at home. Pray that Thou may grant them wisdom also. We pray for those who are going in and out for work. Pray that Thou may be with us. Remembering the warfare in Middle East, we pray that Thou have mercy on those who are innocent, those who are helpless, those who are weak. We pray that Thou may restrain the evil of man. We pray that Thou may Help all the Christians to pray without ceasing for peace. We pray for those who are affected by the warfare. We pray that Thou may comfort us, knowing that all our life is in Thy hand. Help us to adjust our plans to make ways for Thy will in our life. Pray for the ministry of Thy church throughout the week. Pray that Thou may be with us and help us to bring our burdens unto Thee and also our thanksgiving. Remembering the king, the rulers, and the head of the government department. Pray that I may be with them. May Thou grant them strength, good health, and wisdom to face the challenges caused by the increasing price of the crude oil. We pray for those who are affected, businesses are seriously affected by the increase of the price of the petroleum. Pray that Thou may help us to realize that this world is not our home, that we ought to look unto Thee, and Thou are causing the rising and the falling of human empires. We commit ourselves unto Thee this week. May Thou be with us. In the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Let us turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is called the marketplace of Asia. It is a very prominent city in the time of Paul. Ephesus was located in Asia, in the modern Turkey. According to one Christian leader who had been there, there's still a small congregation of Christians gathered in Ephesus. We thank God for that. Even though the number is small, the size is small. And God is displaying His wisdom and confidence through Christ. Wisdom cannot be bought. You can buy books, you can attend college, you can receive titles from human institutions. But outside Christ, there's no wisdom. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This wisdom is not originated from human being. It does not come from the human philosophers. It's not the wisdom of the Greeks. It's not the wisdom of the Orientals. It's the wisdom that comes from God. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and wisdom of God." And God is manifesting His wisdom through the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3 talks about the mystery God reveals through the good news of Christ. The word mystery means things that could only be known by revelation. And this is by revelation of God. This is not something that we can figure out by our limited wisdom. We do not know until God revealed to us. So the mission of the apostle is to bring light for everyone. The world history is not just the rise and fall of human empires, but to reveal the mystery of God. Human beings, no matter how strong they are, how powerful they are outwardly, they are not in control of the world. The rise and fall of man is determined by heaven, by God, by Christ, the Son of God. In verse 10 it says, "To the intent that now unto the principalities, powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." What we can see is physical things. We can read the price of the crude oil. We can see the powerful men from the super powerful, superpower countries. We can see the marine vessels, but what we cannot see is the spiritual beings. There are spiritual beings, the elect angels who serve God, and the rebellious angels who determine to go against God all the way. First, take note of the listeners of this revelation. And God is revealing His wisdom through the church to those elect angels and to the fallen angels. We know the fallen angels have been working hard to undermine the purpose of God. The angels were made by God, and when they fell, God did not redeem them. But God redeemed man who is made out of dust. The fallen angels have deceived the first man, Adam, to fall into sin. But God was not taken by shock. God already planned before the foundation of the world that He would save. And God's rescue plan came out immediately. The angels were observing God's wisdom in making the world. And God arranged the seasons in a year. Now we are coming to summer season, so you feel very hot. In December, you feel very cold. How He made birds, animals, and fishes, and the stars. It's good for us to take time to appreciate the creation of God in the nature. As time passed through the centuries, the angels acknowledged God's wisdom all the more. We see God's wisdom shown in history apart from creation. In Genesis 6, God talked about the global flood. There is a divine judgment for sin. When men have lost restraint, there is no restraint. There is no fear of God at all. God will step in and intervene. And God also disrupts the plan of men to make themselves a name by confusing the languages of men in the Tower of Babel. The angels watch God's dealing with all the nations in the Old Testament. How God spared this wicked city called Nineveh, for example. And how God grant mercy to Nebuchadnezzar, a very furious ruler in the world. How God dealt with him and humbled him. And how God humbled, how God raised up the empire of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greeks and Romans. God raised them up, God also put them down. And God is sovereign. God is telling the world again and again that He is ruling the world. If we follow the Christian tradition, we say this year is 2026, the year of our Lord. Anno Domini. The year of the Lord. Despite the prophets told us that the great empires of the world will be replaced by another empire, we see men are so ambitious to make themselves a name, thinking they'll overrule the world. They do whatever they like. But we know that ultimately the kingdom of men, the Roman Empire, will be replaced by the kingdom of God. Even the revived Roman Empire would not defeat the purpose of God. And this thing happened due to a human arrogance, and human arrogance will only lead to evil and finally lead to God's judgment. Even in this way, human history shows the wisdom of God. God did not remove all the wicked people in the world immediately, instantly. People used to ask, how come God did not remove the devil and let devil tempt our first ancestor, Adam? How come God did not remove the evil man? But God said in the book of Proverbs, even evil men, wicked men, are made for a purpose. God did not make wicked men, but men choose to be wicked. The angels learned so much as they followed the history of Israel. And God took an idol worshipper called Abram, exalted father, He is a sinner. We know that from his behavior. Not only we know from the scripture that all of us are sinners, but from his behavior he is a sinner. He lies. He accepts the wrong advice from the wife to have another woman to help God to have her offspring. The wife, Sarah, have passed the childbearing age, cannot bear any child. So when we look at the candidates God have chosen throughout the age, we are wondering, is it the wisdom of God? We always choose the best. Housewife, when they go to the market, they always pick the best fruits, isn't it? That's why the fruit seller said, do not squeeze our orange. If one housewife squeezes once, after the whole morning, 200 squeezes, what will happen to the oranges? We always pick the best. We don't want the second class. The Cantonese says, tau tau mei mei, or the leftover. We want the cream. We do not want the foam. But God chose Abraham. But so when the covenant people of God suffer for so long under Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, God seems to be indifferent. 400 years under Pharaoh. But when the time is mature, according to God, God sent a reluctant deliverer called Moses. Moses was 80 years old. What can Moses do? Moses said, being with the best of my time, when I'm 40 years old, I try to use my strength to save, but fail. So what can I do after 40 years? Helpless and hopeless. So what? God, when God sent him, he said, no, don't send me. I cannot speak. It's quite true, you know. You ask a pilot who have not been flying for 40 years, ask him to take the flight again. He said, no, not me. Certainly, I'm not qualified. You ask, even as an orator, after 40 years, never give a speech. He said, no, not me. Please ask someone else. But God sent him. God have to, in a way, threaten him a bit. So Moses was forced to go. And God used this reluctant deliverer to save his people, deliver his people from Egypt. So the creation, world history, and the Old Testament history reveal the wisdom of God. But the manifold wisdom of God means a great variety, like the colors in the rainbow. It's displayed in the New Testament given through the apostles. It is through the Christian church that the angels see great variety of divine wisdom that never knew. How the Christian church reveals God's wisdom. Because God cannot forgive sin just like that, he will be contradicting his attribute of justice. And God cannot just condemn, assign human being to eternal punishment. Because God is love. How to make these two attributes of God, the love and the justice of God, meet together? So God thought of a way, that is through the cross. So God have designed such a wonderful way of salvation that involved the Son of God to come all the way down from heaven to become a man for 33 and a half years before he became the sacrifice for our sins. He died for our sins. God's justice demanded that even the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore our sins, he bore the full wrath of God. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ asked, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And such things is so wonderful, according to Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1. Which things the angels desire to look into. If angels came to look into, so should all the Christians. It's good for us to take time today and for the whole week to read through the gospel narrative. how the Lord go through his final week on earth. There's no use to go through the movie. Hollywood movie producer just want to make followers. Make money. You read what the Bible says and try to find out what does it mean. If possible, get a good commentary and read what does it mean to the Lord, to the people in the final week. Think of the marvel of the angels were sent to announce the good news to Virgin Mary. And God is going to use a teenage girl, an innocent girl, in the town of Nazareth. Of all towns, why don't you choose Jerusalem? Jerusalem is supposed to be a religious city. Why don't you choose Nazareth? Nazareth is a town that is notorious. Doesn't have a good name. Some people are so ashamed of their hometown that they do not want to identify themselves with their hometown. They choose a better place. Because people might tend to associate them with the bad name of their hometown. Think of the astonishment of the angel when they watch the Son of God working in a carpenter shop. The Son of God have to work so hard. Think of the marvel of the angels as they see the Son of God who is full of wisdom, who needs no counselor, sit at the pew of the synagogue of the Jew to listen to the exposition of the ordinary rabbis. The one who revealed the word of God, sit down there and listen. Think of the astonishment of the angels when they see the Son of God humble himself. And as the Son of God entered the city of Jerusalem, he rode on a donkey, not a horse. Today you count your vehicle by horsepower, isn't it? You drive a Rolls Royce. If people come with a Harley Davidson motorbike, wow, we say, wow, very exciting. It shows the power and the strength of the human world. But the Lord did not. The Lord came riding on a mule, a donkey. And God seems so weak, isn't it? The world does not want weak leaders. The world wants powerful, those who can call the shots. Those who say, fight, means that all the army will go and fight. And the people will sacrifice their lives. There's a Singaporean, there's a Hong Kong pastor that give a commentary. He said, my mgeng saya, not that he is not afraid of death. I am mgeng and they saya. He's not afraid of sacrifice of others. Thousands of people go for unnecessary warfare and people got killed. And God also seems failing, dying and suffering before this for the sins of the Jews and the Gentiles at the cross. So the Greek says, what savior? You even can't save yourself. The Jews say, we look for a savior to perform miracles. There is like a military might. That is macho. To save us. How come? He is not the king of the Jews. You don't want him. You rejected him. So with the help of the Gentiles, don't blame the Jews only. With the help of the Gentiles, Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers, they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews came up with a plan, with the idea. So said, the world have rejected Jesus Christ. The world do not want to recognize Jesus Christ as he is. Because Jesus Christ will not come to satisfy the will of men. They wanted to make him king because he can provide bread for them, miracles, healing, etc. They want Jesus Christ to follow the worldly agenda. follow our framework, but the Lord would not, because the Lord is sovereign. He came to solve the greatest problem of man, that is the problem of sin. Everyone is worrying what will happen to them if they die, you know. Even the most powerful general. There was one American general who later became a U.S. president. He was a godly man. He erred and he sinned. Sometime in his life, so before he died, he asked the U.S. White House chaplain, come. He asked this question. Will my sins be forgiven? He asked this one pertinent question before he died. Will my sins be forgiven? Then the chaplain said, yes, your sins are forgiven because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. You believe in Christ. His mother named him after a famous evangelist in the United States of America. So, we see the enemies of Christ realized later what seems to be a defeat was in fact a grand victory of Christ over his enemies. They have shamed the Son of God to the greatest level by crucifying him in Jerusalem, showing to everyone. So, to associate with Jesus Christ is a kind of scandal. Associate with scandal. The devil and the sinners wanted to get rid of Jesus. Yes, they want the kind of Christmas Jesus, baby Jesus, okay. If you're a baby, okay. When you're grown up, I think you're not okay. Because you begin to ask us to conform to your teaching. Talk about repentance from sin. We don't want to repent. We want to continue in our sin. But God was confounding them with the foolishness of the cross. And this is the wisdom of God. If you think God is foolish, God is wiser than you. If you think God is weak, God is stronger than you. This is what the apostle says in 1 Corinthians. The death of Christ was a divine way of justly forgiving sinners. The justice of God was satisfied by the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. The cross was divine wisdom for using the devil's victory to secure his total defeat. The angels saw the wisdom of resurrection, the new creation in the crucified Christ. So the church, the Christians, believing Jews and Gentiles, form the temple of the new creation. They are together in Christ. They are linked with the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in which God Himself will stay by the Holy Spirit. When the first man and woman fell into sin, no one could have thought of such a glorious and such a wonderful blessing secured by wisdom of God. The apostle mentioned the many colors of divine wisdom. God used the church to display many types of the story of salvation, isn't it? Some of us believe in Christ immediately. Suddenly our heart was opened to receive Christ. Like the businesswoman called Lydia. Others must take a longer time like Nicodemus, isn't it? Nicodemus come and have an evening meeting to see Jesus. And some are restored from denying the Lord like the Apostle Peter. And some persecutors of the faith like Apostle Paul, like Saul, were turned around to become preachers of the gospel. And this Apostle Paul regard this as the greatest marvel. Say, I'm the chief of sinners, but yet God pardoned me. And this shows that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. This is the truth. This is never a lie. So in Luke chapter 15, he says, likewise, Jesus says, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over the sinner that repented. So when sinners turn around towards God, we see there's a great rejoicing in heaven. So Romans 11, verse 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. The wisdom of the Lord is not the wisdom of man. The wisdom of the Lord is higher, much higher than man, that we cannot perceive. We can only appreciate and give thanks and glorify the Lord. Now, secondly, we look at the confidence, okay? Confidence through Christ. We know that the Apostle Paul was locked up. He was imprisoned for the faith, for preaching the gospel of reconciliation of how God made one body of the believing Jews and Gentiles, and how the Jews wanted to kill him, and how the Romans imprisoned him. And now he was in prison. What can you do in prison? Apostle Paul prayed. Verse 12. He talked about the confidence, isn't it? Chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. You see, when the leader is in prison, of course the rest will be shaking and moving. The rest will be dispersed, isn't it? So when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested on the Maundy Thursday, a lot of disciples all ran away. There's one they follow from afar. There's Apostle Peter. And all these things will shake us naturally. The Bible have tell us the human side, the human weakness even of the apostles, the disciples. The Bible never hide. In verse 12, we have confidence about access to God in prayer because we realize that we are doing His will and glorifying His name by standing against the adversaries, the flesh, the world, and the devil. And this confidence comes through our faith in Him. So we look at the church, okay? What the church can do now is to pray, to come to God frequently. You cannot see Apostle Paul all the time. Maybe sometimes you visit the jail. Maybe there's a time for visitation. But we should come to God boldly. Boldness means fearlessness, freedom from all doubt that we may be rejected. Because the Gentiles were strangers. They were aliens. They were not part of the Old Testament promise. But now, they are joined together with the believing Jew, like Abraham, Joseph, etc. They can have access to God because of what Christ has done at the cross. The veil was open, was torn into half. The veil was a very thick cloth, very high, but God opened it when Jesus Christ gave up His ghost. We can have access directly to God. In verse, we have boldness and access. This boldness doesn't mean presumption. We cannot see a king anytime, anyhow we like. Just walk to the palace, Istana Negara. I think next morning you see me appear in News Straits Times or Evening News. One intruder was arrested. How dare he go and sit at the sofa of the king? And this is what happened in one palace in another state. Just walk in. Cannot. You must get invitation from the king, and the king asks you to sit there, please sit there, as a worker. Then later you come to the inner part, you have a meeting room with the king. You are granted an audience. We do not become foolhardy and, you know, some people say, you just pray. No. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one who gives us the entry visa. Now, when you want to go to another country, some country want visa. Give me a visa. Show me I've got a visa in Kuala Lumpur. Then they show the Kuala Lumpur visa issued from Kuala Lumpur. Then even then they're going to check the computer. Well, have you done anything in a country or not? When they look at the computer for a long time, you know, you don't know whether you can enter or not, you catch your next flight back to Kuala Lumpur. So we talk about the privilege of coming before the presence of God. So to pray is a privilege. But of course the Ephesians, they got their reservation because they are from pagan background. They are not used to pray to God. And some more, this God got no image, you know. Where to pray to God? Huh? Some people thought God is in the church. So some people, in my ministry, there was one evening, one lady who stayed on the opposite. Can I come to pray? I said, pray for what? I said, I just want to kneel down in the church. Okay. Just let her. After she prayed, she gave an offering to the church. Actually, I had never stayed to collect any offering. Okay, she prayed on her own. Pray. Because of our past pagan background, we have a different idea of God. When I was young, I was brought to the temple. I saw this God carry weapons, the sword and all this spear. So it gives me a very fearful. If our God is like that, who dare to talk to God? Who dare to approach God? And some more, they also think of their past sins, you know, because of their association with the worship of this goddess Diana. Many years involved in witchcraft. All these things will not be erased from our memory bank. Sometimes you come back and you think, oh yeah, I'm so sinful. God will listen to me or not. Huh? Or God, look at me angry. I'm going to punish you or no. I say, pray or not to pray. And some are so fearful of attending prayer meeting. Oh, the pastor asked me to pray, the elder asked me to pray, deacon asked me to pray. Then I don't know what to pray. So they disappear from prayer meeting forever. Because so fearful. So we know that certain sheep are so sheepish. So we don't ask them to pray. Otherwise they'll disappear from prayer meeting forever. And I say, well, I cannot speak well, you know. You know, people have different strange ideas we do not know until we talk to them. But the apostle says, come with boldness, fearlessness, because of what Christ has done for us. If the devil says, well, you have committed this sin on this day, yes. We say, yes, but Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven us. If we confess our sins, He's just, He's merciful to forgive our sins. We must ask God for forgiveness. Then we can pray. Well, I can't pray so long. But you say a word also praying. Sometimes not a word, just sighing. God hear your prayer. And access with confidence. Confidence means an entry. You see? You go to a certain club like the Lake Club, the Taman Perdana. You need members who bring you in. You cannot say, oh, I got money, you know. I'm the richest man in the town. I'm the famous professional. They wouldn't admit you. You must be brought in by a member. And you must dress according to their dressing code. Then you're allowed entry. It's a privilege to go into such a club from human point of view. What a privilege to have access to the presence of God. With confidence. How to have confidence? When we first pray, we have no confidence. We do not know whether God will hear our prayer or not. You have confidence when you do our things repeatedly. But let us do not be overconfident. Okay, we still regard ourselves as the servant of God, as the child of God, and God is so high, and we are but humble creature. Let us approach God with God-fearing and with thanksgiving. Let us come before God with prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. Let us remember to give thanks to God. It's very important. If there are trouble in the church, you know, like the situation in Ephesus, the leader was arrested, and there was no leader in the church, let us pray. God is still alive. God is still in control. God may release the church leader in due time. Or may not, God may raise up another leader. Let us pray without ceasing. Let us not be discouraged by the tribulation. Verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. I suffer not because of my sins, of my transgression, but I suffer because of the gospel. In Hebrews chapter 10, we are given encouragement. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Before that, nobody dared to enter. Even the high priest got to bring the blood of the animal sacrifice once a year. And even then, he got to fear for the loss of his life inside the veil. But because of the death of Christ, Christ has paid the price of redemption. We can have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Thank God for that. Let us be encouraged to pray. Especially the Lord's Day. Let us spend some time to pray for ourselves, pray as a family members. Even you cannot gather all the family members nowadays, you gather some and pray. Even a short prayer. Even you think your prayer is not impressive, you pray. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks. Do not forget to give thanks to God. Because God wants to hear from us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the exhortation, the instruction from the epistle to the Ephesians. We pray that thou mayest strengthen us, help us to understand thy wisdom that will be revealed in the manifold colors. We also thank thee for reminding us to pray without ceasing, to come before thy presence with holy boldness, recognizing our need and the need of the church to pray. Pray for the members of Christ who are suffering for the faith, and pray for the needy members, and also give thanks to thee for thy providence, for thy manifold care. For thou hast turned the plan of the enemy for thy glory, for thy victory. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.